Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
All of a sudden, Tim Versalotti, John Boehner, is sitting down with the President of the United States. I'm fascinated by Boehner because in the beginning, he looked sort of like a tool of the Republican conservative coalition in the House of Representatives. But more and more, I think he's rejecting the Tea Party group and being a little bit more gutsy. Am I just hopeful, or is that really happening?
I would say I have the same observations about Speaker Boehner. And I think we could mark a change in his approach to the office at the government shutdown on October 1st. While the House held tight and forced the shutdown, I know, looking back, Speaker Boehner, I think, in his most candid moments, would acknowledge that it was a bad move, that the party took a hit, and then it was only that the problems with the rollout of Obamacare followed so closely after the government shutdown that the Republican Party's brand was able to recover a little bit. And I think that experience gave him a sense of empowerment, gave him a sense that the Tea Party's influence may be isolated, that in particular regions of the country, in particular House districts, that influence is very strong. But in terms of its overall impact on the party, the national party, the Tea Party is showing some of its limitations. And so he feels more empowered to try to put them in their place and to make some moves that would be, some would say, is, well, here is the establishment wing of the Republican Party trying to take the party back, the Chamber of Commerce wing, the Main Street wing of the party. And we've seen a couple of developments since then that would suggest that's the case. One would be the clean debt limit increase. The other would be the budget agreement. The Tea Party elements of the Republican Party would have liked to see the party, certainly on the debt limit increase, get something in return or push things to the limit to try and extract some concessions from the Democrats. And Speaker Boehner just wasn't willing to do that. And so I think he's testing the waters to see whether indeed the Tea Party power has reached its limits and that there might be some way to pull the party not back to the center, but just a little bit away from the far right at this point.
There's some that think his days are limited as Speaker. What intuitive or otherwise observations do you make?
It's a complicated projection to make. Let's first look at the 8th Congressional District in Ohio, which Speaker Boehner represents. He does have a Tea Party opponent in the Republican primary there. But from all accounts, this opponent is trying to run a social media campaign, doesn't seem to be very well capitalized. So it would be highly unlikely that Speaker Boehner would be denied another term. But should the Republicans hold on to the House in the midterms and the party organize, the behind-the-scenes maneuvering will be fascinating because we have seen, although Speaker Boehner is pushing back against the Tea Party, there are some warning signs. There was this fascinating series of events a few weeks ago where the Speaker articulated a series of principles for immigration reform, which suggested, wow, maybe there still is the possibility that Republicans and Democrats could forge some sort of consensus on immigration reform this year. And then in a matter of days, he pulled back from that and said, well, the House won't be taking this up. It's highly unlikely the House will be taking this up this year. And presumably it was because he got strong pushback from members of his caucus, particularly in districts where they might be facing Tea Party opponents in primaries. And so he's got this tricky balancing act. I think a lot will depend on the results of the November 2014 election. If the Republican Party holds on but loses some of Senate's majority. In other words, if Democrats make some gains and position themselves to take over in 2016, you might see a challenge to his leadership, much like what we saw in 1998 when President Clinton was on the ropes because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and it was the sixth year of his time in office, and you would have expected the opposition party to pick up seats. It did not, and Newt Gingrich stepped down as Speaker of the House. If we see the Republican Party performing less than expected in November 2014, you might see a challenge to Speaker Boehner's leadership.
There are a lot of retirements, Senate and House. If I'm a House Democrat, I would be very concerned about another 2 years of sitting on the back benches and not having an awful lot of power. And of course, you get somebody like Mr. Dingell from Michigan and others who are just old and, want out after a while. But there have been several major shifts now, and these become open seats. We all know that open seats are when people can win or lose. What do you make of that?
It's been remarkable watching some of the major names in the House of Representatives, in particular, Henry Waxman is another one, who have come out to say that they've had enough and it's time to go. Some of it may just be weariness. I mean, John Dingell sets a record for endurance in the House, and yet his wife has announced that she will run to retain the seat. And so although John Dingell is weary of it, there is a member of the family to pick up and carry on. This could be one of those years where we see a large freshman class coming in, much like we saw one in 1974, the so-called Watergate class. And I think part of it is attributed to what we're hearing from these soon-to-be retirees, that it is just a bruising experience to serve in the House of Representatives and to some extent the Senate these days. Not a lot gets done. There's just this extraordinary amount of polarization. The prospects for the Democrats regaining the majority in 2014 are because of redistricting are very, very slim. And so, if you were a long-serving member of the Democratic Party in the House and you were trying to decide whether to hang in for another 2 years, it would make a lot of sense to say, enough, let someone else come in.
What about Nancy Pelosi? You know, she's been a figure who is beloved by many of the people in her conference, but has been the object of aggression, and I really mean emotional aggression. The Republicans think they have something in going after her.
Sure. She serves the same purpose that Newt Gingrich used to serve for the Democrats. The Republicans raise a lot of money based on Nancy Pelosi referring to an opponent in any House race as a Nancy Pelosi Democrat, a San Francisco Democrat, the worst kind, the most liberal of Democrats. It raises a lot of money for the Republican Party. And yet, among Democrats, Nancy Pelosi occupies a unique position. When a party loses the majority in the House, the leader of that party typically steps aside. Nancy Pelosi did not, and instead has remained a rallying figure for the Democrats, even though their prospects for regaining the majority are pretty slim. She's a fairly remarkable political figure, someone who has endured through circumstances in which most people would pack up their marbles and go away, or at least retreat to the back benches.
I only have one more question, and we only have one more minute, which is good, only because it'll make it go really fast, and that is, can the Republicans take the Senate?
Oh, they could. They need to flip six seats, and there are some extremely vulnerable seats. Folks who ran and won election in 2008 with President Obama, when generally the electorate is a lot younger, more people of color turn out, more liberals turn out, they're up against it. And by these folks, I mean Kay Hagan in North Carolina, Mark Begich in Alaska, Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. Those are just a handful of the vulnerable seats. And so it's quite conceivable that Republicans could pick up those seats, plus a few open seats that are occurring due to retirements in West Virginia and South Dakota. So it's an uphill battle for Democrats, no question about it, to hold on to the Senate.
And when we come back, maybe we'll start there, and we'll start with the proposition, the Senate goes a Republican. What does that do to President Obama?
Okay.
Tim Versalotti, you're a great guy, and you are so nice to come on with us. And I love the fact that you're at Western New England University, which I have so much respect for, and love to be your student. Okay, thanks so much, Tim.
You're welcome.